Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
A 2005 report by the National Academy of Medicine found that minority populations receive lower quality health care than white people. This difference persists even when accounting for insurance, income, and severity of condition. Today, in 2024, Dr. Ladson Hinton, professor and director of geriatric psychiatry at the UC Davis School of Medicine, says these disparities haven't really changed.
We know in the field of medicine that there's abundant evidence of racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare. So we know this from in lots of different areas of medicine.
For example, there's been a large effort to increase knowledge and treatment for HIV, a virus that attacks the body's immune system. However, Dr. Toyin Nwafor says that these initiatives may not be helping the ones who need it the most.
What we know for sure is that, you know, in the U.S., we have about 1 in 5 new infections of HIV are in women. And of those, half of them are in Black women and another 20-25% in Latina women. So again, you know, 7 out of 10 are in women of color in terms of new HIV infections. And overall, when we think about it, the Black Americans make up about 13-14% of the U.S. population, but about 40% of new infections every year, and also about 40% of people living with HIV.
Nwafor is an infectious disease physician and the senior medical director for HIV prevention at Viv Healthcare. She says that there are quite a few known factors that are causing this racial disparity, with the main one being where people live.
In certain areas where there is a high prevalence of people living with HIV, and some of whom are undiagnosed living with HIV, the odds that a person would be getting contact or be infected with HIV is higher. So they are geographic and they're high incidence and high prevalence areas.
Other factors are access to testing, as well as finding healthcare providers who won't make a patient feel shamed or embarrassed. Some of these obstacles create problems for more than just minority populations, but women as a whole.
What we do know is also for women in general, the ability to stay in care and keep up with all of their appointments may be lower than other groups because of other competing priorities with childcare issues and other people that they're taking care of. So it's a combination of factors between structural issues, social determinants of health, the geography of where people are, and the kind of quality to access to healthcare, access to testing and prevention services.
Stigma is the final piece of this puzzle. HIV in general has been heavily feared since the early 1980s. Nwafor says that this stigma can reduce a person's willingness to get tested and how long they stay in care. This pressure can come from one's community, self-perception, and even from healthcare professionals.
If people are going to a primary care office or they're going into offices where staff are not culturally competent, they're not aware of language, they're not aware of the lexicon, that you can actually traumatize people. And sometimes the stigma that comes in a healthcare space is measured to be a lot high in terms of the impact on someone ever going back to engage in care or having anyone that they know go back to engage in care because of their experience. So for the longest time, there really wasn't a lot of focus and emphasis talking to women and speaking with women about their HIV and sexual health in an open, affirming way. And so with that, we really are kind of playing catch up after so many years of not really centering women in these conversations.
And as Hinton mentioned earlier, these racial disparities aren't unique to this one sector of health. He recently published a review in the journal Alzheimer's and Dementia. Hinton and the other authors analyzed 71 research studies conducted between 2000 and 2022 to examine the healthcare access and quality for people with dementia.
What we really wanted to do was to say, hey, let's take a look and really at all the evidence we have and see how that can inform where we should go in the future to see whether or not there was accumulating evidence of disparities in certain areas and, you know, what we need to do to document those. But more importantly, if we know that disparities exist, we have accumulated evidence, what can we do to actually begin to reduce those disparities and improve dementia healthcare?
Dementia healthcare is a long journey that starts at diagnosis and finishes with end-of-life care for patients. Hinton and the research team map the various disparities that occur throughout this years-long process.
We have a number of studies that have looked at, say, the issue of diagnosis, of accurate and timely diagnosis. And all of the studies that have been conducted show racial and ethnic disparities. So I think that makes a strong case for the existence of those disparities in certain areas and the need to move forward.
Hinton believes this research is important because dementia is already a difficult disease for both the people who are diagnosed and their family members.
And the tragedy here is that we amplify that suffering by having these disparities in care and things like diagnosis and anti-dementia medication. It really makes things worse. And I think that's something that as a society, we should not tolerate.
Hinton's study was able to pinpoint specific differences in care for Black and Hispanic patients compared to white ones. For example, 12 out of 15 papers the team reviewed showed lower rates of anti-dementia medication prescription for minority patients.
So anti-dementia medications is one area in which we found a lot of evidence of disparities. Another was in the area of diagnosis. So we identified 11 studies that had looked at issues related to accuracy of diagnosis or timeliness of diagnosis. And of those, all of them demonstrated or found that non-Hispanic whites had more optimal care. That is, they had more accurate diagnoses, more timely diagnoses compared with minoritized populations.
A third area where there are significant differences in dementia care is hospitalizations.
There were much higher rates of hospitalizations among African Americans compared with non-Hispanic whites. And when someone does have dementia, it's particularly stressful and difficult when they're hospitalized because they get much more disoriented in their environment. It's a very stressful experience. And so the higher rates of hospitalization of African Americans who are living with dementia is really concerning. We have evidence of these disparities, but we have very little evidence or indications about what might be driving the disparities. We really need to dive deeper to understand the underlying processes and, more importantly, to intervene to, you know, improve diagnosis for minoritized populations.
But while dementia research is still early in the process of creating actionable plans that make a difference, Nwafor says that solving the HIV disparities starts with education for both patients and providers, specifically centering the conversations around the individual person.
If it's all centered on HIV and that messaging, if that's not what's important to someone, we're never going to get people where they are. So instead of starting the conversation with what's wrong with you or what do you need done, it's like what matters to you. And in that conversation of what matters to you, then knowing about your HIV status, knowing how to keep yourself healthy if you're living with HIV and how to keep yourself healthy if you're HIV uninfected becomes a natural part of the conversation because it's not starting off with the HIV test. It's starting off with you as a person, what's important to you, and how can we enhance the quality of your life.
Nwafor mentions that providers need to also realize it's not only what they say, but how that message is delivered. Instead of having a conversation about risk, which promotes fear and judgment, Nwafor advocates for making sexual health a regular topic at everyone's yearly checkup.
The only time we go into the sexual health, at least in the old way of doing it, was if a patient had a complaint about something going on, like, oh, I have a discharge, or I have a dysfunction, or I have pain, then we have a whole set of questions we ask around that. But sexual health, really wasn't a big core for a lot of trainees. So that's part of the work that is happening to normalize and have people be comfortable in having that sexual health conversation.
Instead of asking a patient questions that can make them shut down, like if they've been cheated on or having risky sex, Nuafor says physicians should start with open-ended ones, like, tell me about your relationship.
Don't start with, are you married? Because sometimes HCPs go, she's married, so I'm not going to talk to her about HIV. Okay, not. But so also, and then you actually, by doing that, you negate in that person's mind any other relationship they're in if they're not married, because now they have to say, no, I'm not, but I'm this, you know? So really that kind of stuff, being open and non-judgmental. And then even with trying to find out, you know, like, tell me about your sexual partners. Does your partner have more than one partner? You know, you can do things in a way without saying, is your partner cheating on you?
And though we've explained how healthcare providers can help close these gaps, is any of the responsibility on the patients and their families? Hinton says that while doing your own research is important, he believes that, at least with dementia cases, most of the responsibility lies with the professionals.
I think this is really primarily the responsibility of healthcare systems and individual clinicians to do a good job of diagnosing people living with dementia and also providing good care. So I think the onus is really on healthcare systems. At the same time, we try to do whatever we can to develop programs that will also empower families. And I think that's really important, and empower people living with dementia. But clearly, the onus is really on healthcare systems. That's really what they should be doing, is providing good quality care for, you know, for all of their patients.
Hinton believes that training clinicians in areas like cultural competence and implicit bias could be a good starting point for creating change.
And I think we also have to look systemically at perhaps how healthcare systems are, perhaps have policies and other things in place that may help to promote or to sustain these disparities in care.
There's a lot of progress that's been made in the Black community, but there's still a disproportionate rate of people newly diagnosed and living with HIV that are Black, and that the 1 in 5 women newly diagnosed with HIV, half of them are Black women, and that there are structural and geographic reasons why people have a higher vulnerability to HIV, and that we need to work on educating people in the community, educating our HCPs, and helping support people. Hopefully with all of those things, we can decrease the stigma and increase the number of people who access the options that we have to end the epidemic, because we really do have great options for treatment and for prevention, but they're only as good as people being able to get them.
You can find more information about Dr. Toya Nuafor, Dr. Ladson Hinton, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Hey, it's your girl Lonnie Love, and this segment is brought to you by Metamucil. Are you ready to take charge of your digestive health? I know I am. That's why I'm teaming up with Metamucil for the 2-week challenge. Metamucil's 4-in-1 fiber helps promote regularity. Unlike many fibers, Metamucil's psyllium fiber gels to trap and remove waste from your digestive system, helping you feel lighter and more energetic after just 2 weeks. Try the Metamucil 2-week challenge today. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
The entire thing can be kept so that you can create multiple recordings over time, so you can create these sort of comparison views, and you can share them securely with your doctor.
A new at-home device that could revolutionize heart monitoring.
But first, the new generation of female entrepreneurs in STEM.
There's so many more needs in healthcare that have yet to be met. And I think that having more women innovating and more women identifying these needs is only going to make our healthcare system better.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Greg Johnson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
I cornered James in the hall and asked, was there a time when you really needed me? And I didn't come because I was working.
A high-profile journalist shares her story balancing motherhood with a demanding career. Then,
Why would somebody who is a better actor or a better speaker be safer than somebody who is inarticulate?
The hit or miss subjective nature of parole board hearings. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.